Good day.
Good day.
Azama Bet, my, Yaske, see, welcome to Dansk. So, I look forward. So, welcome to today's foredrag. Vi har en række foredrag, der er planlagt i for år. Og de er alt om negativity, uncertainty og complexity. De tre store emner i nuværende verden. Så vi begynder med negativity i marts, og så har vi complexity og uncertainty senere. Okay, but that's about all with my English. So we will begin with a little meditation as usual, and then maybe you can keep the door open, Azam. Måske kan du have døren åben, fordi nogen vil komme. Are you? Okay. So we'll begin with a little meditation as usual, and then we will proceed with the talk. Okay. I let the body relax. Letting go. Letting go of the tension from all muscles of the body. The muscles of my legs. I relax my stomach. I relax my chest. I relax the muscles of my neck and shoulders. I relax my face and forehead. I feel the flow of relaxation flowing throughout the body, from the top of the head to the tip of the toes. Letting go of all thoughts of the past, of the future. Stabilizing myself in the present moment. I feel the flow of energy throughout the body. And I feel this energy flowing upwards and getting concentrated. In the center of the brain. I feel the energy getting concentrated into a point of light. A sparkling star. The center of all life and consciousness. The soul, the spirit. That energy which was before this body was. That which will be after this body is no more. My eternal existence of light. Indivisible, indestructible. Eternal. I experience as though this physical body has disappeared, as though this physical world has disappeared, and all that remains is the soul, the spirit, a being of life. A being of peace. Free from all bondage of the physical. Free from all pressures of that physical existence. I see myself as just a sparkling star. The eternal spirit. And stabilized in this awareness of being the eternal soul, I take my consciousness beyond the earth, beyond the moon, the sun, and the stars. I go beyond space and time. Till I see myself in a world of light. The original home of the soul. That invisible world of silence. Surrounded by an ocean of golden red light. I find myself in the presence of the Supreme. in the presence of God, the Supreme Soul. Another spark of infinite energy. Shining down upon me. His healing light. Falling upon the soul. Entering the soul. Healing the soul. Filling the soul with the experience of unconditional love. Blissful silence. I, the soul, rest. Under the healing light of the Supreme. The eternal parent of all souls. The Supreme Healer. Experience myself to be lost in this union of two beings of light, two sparkling stars. I, the soul, and the Supreme. And holding on to this light and this silence and this experience of fullness, I allow myself to return back to this field of action. This physical world, back to this room, back to this body, this physical costume of mine. And I, the soul, the eternal actor, take my place once again behind the eyes
in the center of the brain, spreading the light of life throughout this brain and body, looking out through these eyes, listening through these ears, silent, peaceful,
There's also one chair here if anyone wants to come. Do you feel the difference when you meditate in a group? Yes? You do? This tells us about the vibrations that we spread, doesn't it? They're subtle, they're not physical. We are together, all of us focus together. A different energy, it supports us. So we should try to find more and more opportunities for meditating together. Isn't it? And so many people, 80, 90, it's so nice. Yes. So, welcome again. So, as mentioned, this in the spring, our theme will be around negativity, uncertainty, and complexity. Why this? So, it started with a little conversation I was having with some friends, some colleagues, and we were looking at what are the major concerns of the world these days? What is happening in the world? There are so many problems. Here in Denmark, things are still okay. At least. Many things are okay. Many things may not be okay. But in some places, we have great difficulties in the world these days. And even if one country is relatively peaceful, no place is completely peaceful, but if it is relatively peaceful, in this globalized world, it is almost impossible to be unaffected by what's happening in another part of the world. There is always some influence. And so we deal with a lot of negativity these days. There is certainly a high degree of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's very difficult to predict what's going to happen. With the economy, with the polity, with society, it is so difficult to predict. And at the same time, it's also a world of increasing complexities. And so people say that those who will be successful leaders of the future, they will have to deal with this increasing level of complexity that we are seeing in the world. A simplistic understanding of the world is perhaps passé. Complexity, again, doesn't mean a complicated understanding or a twisted, convoluted understanding, but it's just that reality has become a lot more complex, perhaps, than it used to be earlier. And we need to navigate this, we need to be able to deal with it. Very often, to understand the world around us, we resort to what are called thumb rules, break reality down to a simplistic understanding. For example, very often we observe this when people of different cultures come together. You have stereotypes, right? Oh, a person comes from there and therefore he's like that. Stereotypes. We try to reduce the complexity of the world into something simple that we can understand. Then the world makes a lot of sense. But that may not always be fair. The world is quite complex. And appreciating the complexity within the self, appreciating the complexity in the world around us is also something that we will take up. We will, of course, begin with negativity, which is the theme for this month. So there is negativity, uncertainty, and complexity. And then we have divided it in two dimensions. One is pertaining to the self, and the other is pertaining to relationships with others. So we begin today with dealing with negativity, navigating negativity, but in connection with the self. We will not go so much into in relationship with others. That will be the subject of our next talk. So, and that's how we will go further this spring. So, let's look at negativity, the experience of negativity. Let's begin with a simple question that we can ask ourselves. Let's focus on the self, right? So when we experience negativity in connection with the self, when do we experience negativity in connection with the self? Spend a minute reflecting on that. When is it? We'll spend a minute reflecting on that, and then we will share our answers. When is it that we experience negativity related to the self? What circumstances create these feelings? What are the reasons that you experience behind the experience of negativity in connection with the self?
When you have been rejected by someone.
Okay. So when do we feel negative about the self? So one experience that you have come up with is when we have been rejected by someone else. The feeling of rejection. Why does that make us feel negative? The feeling of rejection? What is it that we really feel? Yes.
Because we don't get what we want.
We don't get what we want. So there are some expectations or some desires or some goals that we have not been accomplished. And so we feel some negativity. Okay. Anything else? Yes, you can raise your hand first. So.
I think if you have a bad self-esteem and if your self-confidence is bad, and if you don't live according to your values.
Ah, interesting. So another reason could be when I know or I experience that I have gone against my values. And I lose respect for myself. Perhaps because I have gone against my values. So one is there are some failed expectations or failed desires. The other is going against my values. And therefore I lose respect for myself. I feel negative about myself. What else? Yes?
When you feel something is annoying and you just can't get rid of it.
Why is it annoying? When do we feel something is annoying?
Because you don't know the way to move it.
We don't know the way to change that or to move it. Yeah? And we would like to move it or change it because of what? So we are you saying that we are aiming at something?
Yeah.
And to reach that, whatever we are aiming for, something is blocking it and we don't know how to get rid of it and therefore. So again, isn't it the experience of having a certain aim or a goal which we are unable to achieve?
Yes.
Yeah, and then we don't know how to do it. We're just unable to go through it. Okay, the similar experience again. We have an aim, a goal, a desire that we would like to achieve, and we just don't know how to do it. There are some obstacles. We don't know how to go over that. Yes?
I'm having a bit of an issue with the definition of the self.
Yeah.
Can you say what you mean by the self? Because I don't know if you mean what we think we are, or it also includes what we think we are not. Because then negativity can be manifest as something that comes from this side that we think we are not, so we are not aware.
It's a very deep question. And it's a very, very relevant and important question. You've almost given half my fourth hour. Now I have a problem again. The problem when you have nice, intelligent people in the audience. So now what do? I'll manage. But you're right. How do we define the self? I would say from a holistic perspective, the self would include the aware and the unaware dimension. So it would also involve all those things we believe we are not, which we are but we believe we are not, which we believe we are not but in reality we are, etc. So all aspects which are a part of me, I may be aware of them, I may not be aware of them. It doesn't matter. All that I identify with. So we're speaking about that.
Because then negativity could be just a lack of knowing yourself.
Yes, you're right. It also could be because of the lack of knowledge, lack of understanding of the self. And we will look even at these goals and desires and values that we are looking at. So there are different levels of the self, and we will look at that. Anything else? Yes?
I feel like I have experienced this negativity when I can not hold my emotions. When emotions are bigger than myself, it's not a form of control, but a form of to feel in feeling.
That feeling itself, which takes control over me.
Yeah. I cannot hold feeling the emotion. The emotion is too big, and I cannot feel anything sometimes.
Mm.
Because this feeling is too strong. I cannot hold this feeling.
Mm. So are you saying that the feeling of negativity completely overpowers us?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Because it was not born by negativity, because it's part of life.
Mm.
But it's so much strong that I cannot be in the feeling.
Mm.
Because it's, it makes me so much suffering. And so I have to close, to stop. Feeling.
Shut it off.
Yeah.
Mm. This is a very interesting experience, and that frequently happens. Many of you may have had the experience. Sometimes the feeling is so strong, it's perhaps too big and too loud.
It could be also happiness. We're not talking about pain.
Mm. Yeah.
Or place.
I get you, any strong emotion.
Yeah.
But let's focus today on the experience of negative emotions.
It could be also negative.
It could also be. Then what we're trying to do is look at the reasons for that. So whatever the feeling is, if it's very strong or maybe not so strong, what are the reasons for that? We're trying to identify that. Why has that come into being, that feeling, in the first place? Yes?
I'm not able to detach from our feelings and situations.
Okay, so the reason, of course, then is we are attached. So we have some strong attachment or desire for something, and that's not happening. And therefore, we feel negative because we are unable to separate ourselves from that, is what you're saying, right? Okay. Yes?
It could also be that you are a very intense personality,
mm.
which simply am afraid or is afraid of strong feelings.
Yeah. And why are we afraid of those strong feelings? What is the experience underlying that? Let's get into these things. Anything else that we can, anything different? Yes?
You compare to others, and if you do that, you can feel a negativity.
Comparing to others with respect to what?
Yeah. If you should be better or...
With respect to what? Better?
Everything. Yeah.
Okay. So some comparisons with others, it could be in terms of achievements, accomplishments.
Yeah.
It could also be in terms of comparisons with regards to values, perhaps, for example. You see someone else able to follow their values very well, and we feel we are compromising, so we feel also there. Yes.
If you don't feel loved by others and yourself.
Then we don't feel loved by others and by the self. Perhaps also connected to what you spoke about self-respect some time ago. We feel... And why do we have this desire to be loved by others in the first place?
Because it
makes
you happy.
Why? You're right, it's very simple, isn't it? You should probably not try to complicate it too much. You're saying something?
To be accepted by others.
Why do we have this desire? So someone said earlier, right? We feel this rejection. You started off with that. So this is an experience of that rejection, right? Others don't love me, accept me, and therefore I feel like that. Why do we have this? So we have this aim of being loved, accepted by others, and when that doesn't happen, I don't feel so good. Yes?
Because the lack of that, that you cannot love yourself, you don't know how to love from the inside out, then you seek others' love from the outside.
Okay, and why do we lose love for the self?
Because we're not connected to the self most of the time. We always lost in love for the world.
So what is the self that we are not connected to, because of which we are unable to experience love? What are we speaking about? Why? When will we be able to love ourselves? Let's look at it the other way. When will we be able to love ourselves? Yes?
When you accept yourself.
When we accept ourselves. When will we be able to accept ourselves? When will we be able to accept ourselves?
When we're forgiven ourselves.
And when will we be able to forgive ourselves? Can we just, what to do, you know? I mean, I have to keep this running for an hour and a half. So but when will we be able to forgive ourselves? Yes? When we feel complete. And when will we feel complete?
Never. When we come to terms with who we are.
When we come to terms with who we are. And of course, we go back to the question of who we are. So we're going around in circles now. What's the point of this talk? But let's proceed further. You wanted to say something? Okay. Okay. But we will try and put these together in a slide. Yes? Yes, ma'am?
It's also something about that it's okay to be who I am right now. I'm negative. It's okay. It's like living in it and being with it and accepting from
good.
Right now.
Now, let me give you an example. We should be comfortable with who we are. We should learn to forgive ourselves, etc., etc., right? It's good. Now, say I have committed a crime. I have done something really, really nasty and terrible. Say I have committed a murder. I haven't, fortunately, at least not in this life. So, supposing I have done that, how do I then make peace with myself? Can I just forgive myself? Oh, I have committed murder. It's okay. I just accept that I've done something bad. I just accept it. Will that work? Yes?
I don't think so. I think you have to... We have a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The lack of knowledge is what will get you to the point where you can forgive yourself. And how to reach that, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Of course, you're all right. We need to have this love for the self. We need this acceptance of the self. We need this forgiveness of the self, etc., etc., etc. The question is, how do I get myself to that situation? And where did I lose that love and respect and all that stuff that I would like to have for myself, because of which I would like to take it from others, as many of you have mentioned? But let's come back again to the direct experience of negativity. Some of the things that you have mentioned, if we try and capture that, at least in my mind, there seem to be two themes running. One theme is there are some desires, there are some goals, there are some aims we have set for ourselves in our lives. And when we are unable to achieve them, we find something blocking that. This goal, this aim could also be getting others' attention, getting others' respect, getting others' love. It could be that. It could also be getting a job, the kind of a job that I like. It could be getting some task done, whatever. It could be a different level, but some goal, some aim, something that is there, I'm unable to achieve that, right? Many of you have mentioned about various things around this one theme. The other theme that I seem to be hearing from what you're saying is One is, of course, there is this desire, and then the other is, I have the experience that I have gone against my values. I've done something wrong to my character. I've gone against my integrity. And I lose respect for myself because of that. And then how do I regain that? Yes? Are we on the same page with that? So something around, and there could be more, but let's take up these two themes to begin with, and then we will try and see. So, one, as we have seen, is of course failed desires, expectations, goals. We don't have so much space, so I'll just write failed desires. And then, of course, the other experiences of having gone against our values. And both can create a sense of lack of respect or lack of confidence in the self. And of course, none of us like to have that experience. And we have the experience of negativity. And we can have a number of examples around these two themes, and we could probably add a few other themes. But let's proceed further. Whatever it is, we experience this negativity. How is it possible to go beyond this negativity? We have failed in some things. Okay, I have a history of failure. I also have a history of having gone against certain values that are important for me. And now this is where I am in the present, where I have this baggage. And obviously this baggage is making me heavy. What would I need to do to be able to overcome this experience of negativity? Yes?
Before you mention about stereotypes, maybe one stereotype is when we keep labeling the things we do or we feel as good or bad, instead of just looking at that they are.
Very interesting. So what you're saying is we label it, we identify it as a particular thing, and our memory somehow seems to be trapped in that identification. And now we go into the experience of the self. So we have this memory, and to this memory there is an identification. I identify with this. This is a part of my history. Whenever I think of myself, I think of myself in terms of these failures. I think of myself in terms of having gone against these values. I am constantly in my mind, either at a conscious or at a subconscious, or perhaps at a deeper unconscious level, this identification is there. And so the moment I think of myself, I think of myself in connection with all this baggage. And so my identification of myself is with these memories of the past. And obviously, when, you know, we think of something, either at the conscious or at the unconscious level, I keep thinking of something repeatedly, inadvertently, I'm making this a stronger part of myself. I'm making it a stronger part of myself. And that is why a lot of people nowadays, when they speak about transforming negativity, generally speaking, when you look at negativity, what do we think of? Okay, make a list of your negativities and then develop a strategy on how do I deal with my negativities, right? But a lot of thought nowadays is when we do that, what we are doing is we are inadvertently strengthening those negativities. Because I'm telling myself again and again, I am lazy, I am lazy. I have to overcome my laziness. I am lazy, I have to overcome my laziness. So what am I telling myself again and again? I am lazy. If that's what I'm telling myself, that laziness is going to become a deeper, deeper experience within me. And inadvertently, I'm deepening the experience of that negativity. And so what do we do then? Have some superficial strategy of telling myself that I'm not lazy. That's it. So yesterday I was saying I'm lazy. So today I realize, hey, that doesn't work for me. What do I do? Start telling myself, I'm not lazy. And that's it. Everything will get sorted out. It's as easy as that. Yes?
I think you should start
with smaller steps, like the Kaizen theory from Japan.
Yes.
And then you should focus on everybody has something good, has done something good, or has something they are happy about.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And then try to focus on that.
Very
strong in that.
Good strategy.
Yes.
let's go further into the experience of the self. Now, however, that strategy can work given certain conditions are fulfilled. So what are those conditions that need to be fulfilled? And here we will go a little bit into what you were saying about the self. When we speak about the human personality, you all know this. Very often people speak about the iceberg, right? Coming from psychoanalysis and the Freudian analogy of the human mind with the iceberg. So you have the conscious, you have the preconscious, you have the unconscious. We will not get into all that, but certainly it seems to be that when we speak about the self, we are certainly speaking about some levels of... Yes. Some levels of awareness. So we know there is one level that is on the top. And we have our conscious level of awareness. And in our conscious level of awareness, let's take up these two things to as an illustration, as an example. So we're looking at our desires, we're looking at values. So we have certain desires, we have certain values at this conscious level of our awareness. And so, for example, at this conscious level of awareness, as you've said, using the Kaizen theory, etc., I may say, okay, so I've had this negative experiences, but I've also had some positive experiences. Let's look at them. At the conscious level, I'm drawing upon what is available in my memory, and I'm trying to replace the negative experiences with some positive experiences at the conscious level. And I can do that. However, we know from experience, as well as from research, that there are deeper levels in our awareness. And so there is a level that is operating beneath this surface where I have also some desires and I have certain values. And this is not that accessible to my conscious mind. And of course, if this understanding is correct, most of our awareness is below the threshold of consciousness. And so, if I'm trying to push things in this way, at the conscious level, however, if there is a contradiction, and beneath the level of consciousness, I am being pushed in this way, which way will the iceberg move? Will it work? Will it move in this way, 10%? Or will it move in this way, 90%? Quite clearly, it's going to move in this way. Or sometimes it will just stall. In any case, it will not move in this way. Let me give you an illustration from an example, a real-life example. Okay? So this is an example of a woman. A woman again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be discriminatory, but it's just a good example. So this lady is working in a company. She's a manager. And she is scheduled for promotion to a higher position. Now, she's working in a department, she has a boss, she has very good relationships with her boss, she's doing very well in her job, one of the high performers of the company. And because she's so good and she has the potential to go and work at a higher level, her company also decides that she should be promoted to a higher level of responsibility. And for that, she is set to make a proposal of a project that she will take up at this higher level, right? Because they want to see what her vision is, whether she will, what would she like to do when she comes to that level of responsibility, a higher level of responsibility. And she says, yes, I would like to do that. She's fully enthused about it. That's her desire. That's her goal. That's her aim. She wants to do this. After all, you're working in a company. You would like to go up the ladder. You would like to have promotions. You would like to have higher responsibility. More growth in your career, isn't it? Most of us would like to do that, right? So, yes, she wants to do that. So she's been given this responsibility now of creating a project and making a presentation of that project. Now, however, so it's about a month, the deadline, the time that she has to make this presentation. 1 week goes by, nothing is ready. Her boss asks her, "So how's it going? How is it coming along, your project?" "It's okay, it's coming along fine. How much have you done?" "I haven't really started." "In a week?" Yeah, "I'll start soon. I've been a little tied up with other work and that's why I haven't done this." "It's okay, but you know, it's a big opportunity and you must try and get it done." She says, "I'll do it, no problem." She's confident because she can work faster. Another week goes by, nothing is ready. Boss asks her again, "So how's it going?" Nothing is ready. He says, "You know, it's just two more weeks." She says, "Yeah, don't worry, I'll do it." "You really want this?" "Yeah, I really want this. I mean, that's what I've always dreamed about." Another week goes by, nothing is ready. "What's happening?" Boss asks her again, "What's happening?" She says, "I don't know, this came up, that came up, lots of excuses, still nothing is ready." And the boss figures out something is not right. The organization has some consultants working there. So he says, "You know, really, do you really want this?" "Yeah, I really want this, but I don't know. I sit down and I'm blank. I can't prepare anything. And it's so funny. I've never done this before. It never happened to me before. I really want this, but I sit down. I'm unable to prepare anything. And then I say I'll start tomorrow. And then tomorrow never comes. And I don't know what to do." So she is referred to the consultant, so he can sort of work with her and try and figure out what is really happening here. What do you suppose is really happening there? Yes?
It's because she's going to change herself, as she cannot do that. So she cannot do that because it's too painful and you have a lot of resistance. And you want it, but you cannot do that. Because you have to change yourself and it's impossible.
Very.
You feel like more you want and less you can.
So what you're saying is there is some resistance that she is facing.
Where is this resistance coming from?
You are changing yourself, you know.
So at one level you want to change, at another level you don't want to change, and you are not aware that you don't want to change. There could be many reasons why she doesn't want to change. Some would say maybe she's afraid of coming to that position and then not delivering. Yeah, some people would say that. She gets the job and then she's afraid that she won't be able to deliver at that level and therefore she is sabotaging herself. It could be in some cases. But in this case, it was very, very interesting. The reason in this case was that she did not want to go outside her relationship with her boss. Her boss had become a sort of a father figure to her. And she had lost her father when she was very, very young, etc. And so she's searching for that, you know, deep psychodynamic issues. And she's in this relationship where he is protecting her. She can listen to him, follow him, be a good girl. Daddy is pleased when she's behaving well, and daddy is there to protect her. When she moves outside this relationship, she's on the same level as her boss. He can no longer play daddy to her. She can never have that experience of protection in that relationship anymore. She'll be on her own. And she has all the competence, but she doesn't want to go outside this, and she's totally unaware of this. The experience of the dialogue with the consultant brought these things out. And so, the desires or goals at this level are contradicting. You could say there is a conflict or a contradiction at this between these two levels, and this conflict creates resistance. This resistance, of course, creates the experience of failure. This failure gives us the experience of low self-respect. I identify with this experience of failure. It deepens my lack of self-respect, and then the whole cycle sort of repeats again. And all because there is something happening below the threshold of consciousness that she is not aware about. When that becomes clear, then I'm at least aware of the conflict, where the resistance is coming from. And this can be, we feel this, we see this probably in our daily lives. Many times we set goals. very famous New Year resolutions. Many of us do it every year. How often do we follow? How many of them do we really follow? Why is this happening? There is some resistance, certainly. Where is it coming from? Do I really believe in the goals that I set for myself? The problem is, if I don't believe in them, there will be resistance. That resistance can create failure. That failure deepens my experience of worthlessness. I lose further self-respect if I'm not aware of what is happening. Another example I'll tell you. Old lady, she had sort of an accident. You know, old women, sometimes the osteoporosis, the bones become thin, and even a small fall can break your bones. So she broke her hip. But you know, nowadays it's not such a big thing. You have hip replacement surgery, and within a few days you're up and walking again. And she was not that old. Anyway, she broke down, she fell down, broke her hip. And then she had the surgery, and then the doctors sort of fixed her up, and they said, within a few days you can start walking again. She simply refused to walk. And the doctors tried to make her walk. She refused to walk. And I was looking at this case, and thinking, why is this great? Why would anyone not want to walk? They would want to, wouldn't they want to be healthy again, and go out and do things? But something very interesting had happened here. And she says she wants to walk. But she says, I can't do it. She says, I want to do it. I can't do it. Doctor is telling you that you can do it. She says, no, the doctor doesn't know. I can't. And she tries. She tries, and then she says, no, it's very painful. I can't. She tries half-heartedly. And what's happening here? Very interesting. What was happening was, this old lady has many, many children. She had 9 children. You know? Her whole life was devoted to taking care of these children. And all these children, very, very successful. She brought them up very, very well. She was a very good mother. She brought them up very, very well. Of course, as they grew up, they started moving out, doing their own things, right? So they were all in different places, different parts of the world, doing their own stuff. When she fell down and had the accident, all of them came back to her. So every day, oh, mom, how are you, mom? Are you okay, mom? Can you have some food? Mom, is everything all right? Oh, bring some milk for mom. Hey, is mom comfortable enough? All the children around her the whole day. If she starts walking, what's going to happen? All the pleasure, all the fullness and the completeness she felt in taking care of her children came back to her when all the children were around her. You see? But she's not aware of her own unconscious desire. And because of that, there is a resistance. And because of that, she's engaging in self-sabotage, self-defeating behavior. And she's not aware of it. Sometimes people refuse to be aware of it. And then they can just... And what is happening there at a deeper level? I am losing my independence. I am losing my freedom. I am losing my self-respect because I have become so dependent. I am begging for affection. I am begging for love. I am begging for attention. And I am willing to sacrifice my health. I am willing to sacrifice everything as long as I can get some attention. And it's very painful to accept that, right? It's very painful to accept that. So many times we don't accept it. Whatever goals we set in our lives, if I am facing a resistance, one thing that I frequently ask myself is, do I really believe in the goals I have set? And so what happens if the answer is I don't believe in it? Say, for example, this woman. She has set a goal for herself consciously. I have to get well and start walking. But something inside is happening inside her, her desires, and she's unable to, she refuses to actually do that, get up and start walking. So what happens now? I realize that the conscious goals are not correct. What is happening is I am working from this level. These are my actual goals. So what? This awareness in itself, how is that going to help her? How is that going to help her? So, for example, this woman in the office. Conscious goal, I need to get this promotion, get this project. At an unconscious level, the goal is, I want to stay with daddy, who is not my daddy. Doesn't matter, but he is my daddy. So now she understands, okay, this is my deeper goal, that I want to be with daddy. I don't want to get that job. I want to be daddy's good girl. So what? How does that solve the problem? Yes?
She can go for some years to a psychologist and then try to get an adult who takes her own responsibility for her own life.
Yeah.
We don't need her daddy anymore.
So how many years now?
5 years. 10 years.
10 years. Lots of money, thousands of kroners or dollars or whatever it is. And then maybe she'll make the psychologist her daddy. And then she doesn't want to leave him. I'm sorry, there are many psychologists here. I know at least of 3 that are here, 4 including me. But what to do? So now what? I'm good for psychologists. I mean, if I can become a daddy to everyone, I'll have great business. You know? Why not? And that's a good motivation for me. That's a good motivation for me to be daddy. But anyway, so now what? How does that awareness in itself? Many people say, okay, I know what my intentions are. Okay, I have these intentions deep inside. But that awareness in itself, how does it help us? And psychology can take us to that level of awareness, looking at the darkness inside, looking at the shadow part of the personality, looking at these unconscious desires which are self-defeating, which create loss for myself. But what further? Does anyone like the experience of being subservient? Anyone? Do we like that experience? Do we like the experience of being selfish? If I was that old woman and I really understood, I am begging for attention from my children and I'm willing to sacrifice my own health just because I'm able to get this attention by playing sick, would I like that? Would anyone like that? That realization. And so then we go to a deeper level of the unconscious, and this is where we speak about... Wow. Whew. The deeper unconscious, which we speak about, of course, in the experience of spirituality, that there are certain desires, certain values deep inside us that we refer to as the experience of the soul, the experience of the spirit. And deep inside, none of us wants to be subservient. None of us wants to, you know, go against our own interests. Deep inside, we don't want to. Deep inside, all of us want to progress in our career and do well in life. Because of what? Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to do that? We want to go ahead in life, do well in our career. We would like to be independent. We wouldn't want to be sick. I would like to have functionality in both my legs so I can take care of myself till the day I kick the bucket. Why do I want to do all these things? Yes?
To protect my ego.
Is that the reason? Is that the only reason? Yes?
I think it's fear.
It's because of fear?
Yes.
So this is another experience. One is the experience of conflict between different levels of our consciousness. The other could also be that I am very deeply attached to some goals and desires. And because I'm attached, I am always afraid I will lose it. And when I am afraid, obviously I may not work at my best and I may again have failure. And this level that we speak about very often, the level of the ego, is that all there is to life? I'm doing all these things to fill myself up, to feel good about myself. Is that the only motivation I can have? You're saying something?
In connection with your question before,
yes.
I think maybe there's a conflict between the collective, what the collective wants as society, and what we as individuals.
Very
sometimes
interesting.
We dissolve ourselves in the collective and we just forget about ourselves, and then all these conflicts arise.
And therefore, we are, of course, coming to this part of our topic on individuality. We will come back to that a little later. So, but what you're saying is, we have taken in some aspects of the collective, maybe values, maybe the desires of the collective, the values of the collective, we have taken them within ourselves, we call them ours. We call them ours and we want to achieve these desires, we want to fulfill these values, not so much because they are me, but because when I do that, I have a place in the collective. Right? That can create fear, that can create anxiety, that can create many things. But then, is that the only reason why we should be wanting to do all these things? Do well in life, get a good job, be successful in my career? Is that the only reason? Yes?
I mean, if I stayed always in the position of child, like, I have the secondary advantage that are so important for me, for my identity, that I cannot live without a secondary advantage. For example, this woman could be to be accepted, to be recognized from a father. So I cannot live without it.
So we are saying that we have begun to identify the self with various things that we have taken in from the world, and we have this level of the ego, which can work at the conscious and the unconscious level. All this ego is the I that comes, that is created when I come into interaction with the world. So I'm taking in aspects of the collective within myself, calling them mine, and then I want to hold on to that. I can't see myself outside that. And so many of my intentions there, many of my goals are driven by the intention of protecting my ego, of filling my ego, of feeding my ego. You were saying something?
Yes, we can have a sense in ourselves that we have a goal.
Yes.
Which is in contradiction to everything else.
What is that sense? What is my goal? What is that sense? Can I go deeper?
Yes. To be the one you're supposed to be.
You know, it's a very deep statement. To be who I am supposed to be. But the question is, who am I supposed to be?
Yes.
Yourself. And who is this self?
Be the state of yourself.
Yeah. And who is that self is the question.
That is the soul.
That is the soul. So when we're looking at a spiritual perspective, looking at shifting the identification of the self from this level down to this level, when I'm looking at the truth, what is the truth really? Is my truth my negativity? Is that the truth? I am feeling negative. I am angry. I have accepted that I am angry. Is that the truth? What is the truth? I'm feeling angry, and it's not good to suppress my anger, right? So one level of awareness is that I'm feeling angry here, but superficially I'm telling myself, no, I'm not angry, everything is fine. Deep inside, I'm feeling angry. So I'm living a falsehood. So from that position, I come to an awareness that, no, I need to understand and accept what is happening inside. So I say, hey, I'm saying I don't feel angry, but I am feeling angry. And I'm in connection with the truth. Is that the truth? Yes?
No, because we are all souls, and the soul is pure and happy and sunshine.
Sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
So you just have to get back to your original soul.
You're right. How do we do that? How do we train consciousness to be able to do that? How do we train our consciousness to be able to do that? And when will I be convinced? When will I be convinced that there is indeed, this is theory, right? We know soul is peaceful and negativity is a creation of the ego, which is not a creation of the deeper nature of the self. This is theory. And I know this theory. In spite of that, I'm unable to achieve the goals that I set for myself. In spite of that, I'm unable to achieve even the spiritual goals that I set for myself. And so what is then, yes?
I just want to give you the answer.
Yeah, please do. You make my work
easy. But we have to meditate, because then we come to the highest, and thereby we get we get back to, more and more we get back to our original soul.
Yeah.
So we have to meditate from morning to evening.
How is it possible? How is that practical to even do that? Meditate from morning to evening. Is that even practical? And then what happens to the rest of the work that we have to do? What happens to the rest of the work that we have to do?
But I just want to return to your statement in the beginning about society and how it is affecting us, how the world is today.
Mm.
And I'm being affected by the world negativity, or I choose to sometimes, I can be affected by it, but I can also sometimes manage to choose not to be affected and turn off the radio.
Yeah.
And choose to look at the birds or listen. Do you understand? It's, we also have some influence on how much negativity we want to take in. And you know, you
very
can be affected. No, but you can be affected very hardly and strongly by it. But you can also sometimes have the choice to say, "I really don't want to listen to the news today because I choose to listen to the birds." It's very simple, but it works.
One is the understanding of what is the truth, so we speak about that. And the other thing that you have spoken about is the practice of the truth. Meditation in itself, yes, it's very good, but then, you know, meditation, we use the word meditation a lot in English. Here we speak about, the practice of meditation is called yoga, right? Raj yoga. We speak about Raj yoga. And when we speak about yoga, it's not just meditation. Many of you may know. What is yoga?
Exercises.
It's a union. It's a connection. Meditation is a practice to create that connection. But meditation in itself is not sufficient to create and maintain that connection. That connection is something I have to make an effort at maintaining throughout the day. For example, when you spoke about choice, getting affected by negativity is actually my choice. Do I accept that? The question is, do I accept that? Or do I just intellectually understand that? When I'm influenced by negativity, when people around me are blaming me for things I have not done, when people around me are discriminating against me for various reasons, when I am confronting negativity, at that point in time, do I take responsibility for myself and say, hey, if I am feeling negative, it is my choice? Do I really have the heart, the courage, to accept that reality, that it is, after all, my choice? Or am I at that point in time pointing fingers? It's a very simple thing that you have mentioned, also very, very deep. It is my choice. And when I'm able to, I'll come back to you, when I'm able to practice this truth, what truth? That negativity is my creation. Negativity is my creation. It's not the creation of people around me. It's not the creation of that person's behavior. It's not the creation of that person's words. It's not the creation of the fact I was denied promotion for something I did not do. It is not the creation of the fact that my wife ran away with another man. It is not the creation of that. It is my creation, because when my wife ran away with that man, I felt rejected. I felt hurt. Why? Because I wanted my self-respect from her appreciation of me. Do I have the courage to accept that reality? If I don't, what happens? I suffer.
Who's suffering?
My wife's gone away. Someone else has taken their job away from me. They are happy. Who is suffering? I am suffering. Why am I suffering? Because I choose to suffer. I choose to suffer because I insist on giving the control of my emotions to others. You control my life. You be good to me, I'll be happy. You be bad to me, I feel miserable. I have given away the control of my life. Yes?
I think it's a question about whether the combination of the soul and the body, because a little child is totally dependent on the mother. And if you put two children together on the floor, they will try to cuddle each other. And when people are having a nightmare in their sleep and you touch them with your body, then they keep calm. So the affection on the touch on the body affects the emotions and thereby the soul in some way.
Yes.
So the question is actually eternity versus the time.
What you've said, I think, is a very good example. Basically, I think what you're trying to communicate is the experience of love, the experience of comfort, the experience of being connected with someone else.
Yes. But also actually a question about, or actually the reason why it is so difficult to accept your own feeling of rejection, because you're actually dependent on other people in this life, in this physical life.
Yes. You're right. But that is again, you've given the example of children. We grow up also. And we are now sitting here as adults. Of course, we carry memories from our childhood. But am I going to use that as a reason for feeling negative? Or am I going to find a way out of that? Yes, we are dependent on others. Do I choose to be dependent on others? Can I look at that? Do I have to be dependent on others in that way?
But your life can depend on this life.
That is also my choice, right? As a child, yes, I was dependent on someone to take care of me. Do I still choose to be dependent on someone else to take care of me? That is still my choice, right? But you are very right also about the experience of love, the kind of strength that love and connectedness can give us, which can support us. It is very difficult to deal with these things without that experience of love. And therefore, in the practice of Raja Yoga, we have the whole process of establishing a relationship with God. So that love that another child can give another child, or a mother can give that child, we can experience that experience of love in our relationship with God. And that experience of love can give us that strength to actually become independent. Otherwise, you're right, it's really, really tough to deal with this without that relatedness, without that companionship, without that love. And therefore, the logic in Raja Yoga, the two basic fundamental aspects of Raja Yoga, considering yourself to be a soul, the deeper truth, the eternal spirit, and in that consciousness going beyond, connecting with God, experiencing that relationship of love, which gives the soul the experience of protection, safety, security, which then gives us the courage, can give us the courage to actually take a stand and take ownership of our lives. I am responsible for my emotions, for my negativity, and therefore transform it. And when through this practice, when I am able to do that, obviously I start regaining my self-respect and can establish true individuality. True individuality. What is individuality? I should be myself. So, how do people try to be themselves?
By becoming the collective.
Such a beautiful thing. Sir Kierkegaard speaks a lot about being an individual, right? So in those days, everybody was like doing the same things, the mass. So everybody now decides to be an individual. So what's happening? Everybody is being an individual because everybody wants to be an individual. So what is happening really there? I'm being as collective as ever before. It's a fashion to be individual. Why am I being individual? It's a fashion to be individual. So we can also take individuality at a very superficial level. Someone once asked me, there was a talk one day, and then someone was speaking about, you know, we should not imitate others, look at the self. So one person, one lady says, but you know, I think all of us sitting here are far too individualistic to really follow others or copy others. And I was thinking to myself, do you mean to say individualism cannot be copied? Of course it can be copied. Everything can be copied. I look at the society around me, I look at the world around me, I look at what the world is valuing. Oh, the world is valuing individualism. I should be individualistic. Simple. I'm just taking in the world within me and I'm trying to follow those values and saying, hey, I'm an individual. So again, I'm trying to be an individual, but at a very superficial level. Deep inside, when I go deep and I allow myself to go that deep within myself and I look at the truth within me and I realize the truth within me is also there in others. It's nothing unique. Can I take that strength, that step of strength to accept that if I am loving, others are also loving? Nothing great. And then emerges spiritually the true individuality, where I find my independence and my individuality in understanding also the commonality. But I'm working from a very deep space. It doesn't matter if we are similar, I am still different, and yet we are similar. This beautiful balance between being an individual at the same time appreciating the similarity with each and every human soul. And I live by them, because those are the true values of the soul. I live by those values, I experience true individuality, true self-respect. That gives me the strength then to transform negativity. And then this deep level of individuality can help me transform negativity. It will help me in transcending my memory. Going beyond the memory of the past, which creates negativity. Because I am replacing that memory of the past with something that is deeper, more powerful, and deeply connected with the very core of my being. You were saying something.
When you were saying that when you accept that the truth that you see in yourself, you can also see it in other people, it came to my mind that when you take the step to look at the filthiness inside yourself, then you no longer point at the filthiness in other people.
It's a beautiful
thing. You just realize that what you see, it's the same I have.
Yeah.
And I think, at least for me, it helps me to deal with negativity in the sense that it loses all the meaning to judge other people. In the sense, like, how can I judge this very same thing I am?
Precisely. And it's a very deep thing again. And there's also a lot of research on this now, you know. What we see in others is usually what is there within us. To the extent that we can accept ourselves, to that extent we are able to accept others. To the extent that we reject others, to that extent at some level I'm rejecting myself. Simple rules of thumb that we can apply. But then understanding our negativity and going beyond. One is understanding it and resigning ourselves to it. Yeah, I have this. I'm feeling bad. Oh, all the problem I see in the world is within me. I'm like this. And then I can go deeper and deeper into the experience of self-pity or self-loathing. And the other is understanding it, but not accepting or resigning yourself to it. Understanding it, but also recognizing that is not the truth. There is a deeper existence that is the truth. I need to go in there. I need to go in there, tap into that, and take the control of my life back once again. And then we can deal with or navigate around the experience of negativity. Yes, yes.
I just have a question about you saying that it's very important to develop your individuality to some point, but also that it's that you have to have that sameness and liberation from separateness to in order to have this compassion in the people that are so others. So how does this?
Because true individuality is connectedness.
So it's really not different that you already...
Yeah, because if you go at the deep level, at a superficial level, there are differences. Cultural differences, personality differences, differences in, you know, acquired values, and there will always be these differences at a superficial level. I go deep inside, we are all really the same. We are different and yet the same. We are different because we have different abilities, we have different gifts, we have different, you know, maybe even personalities at some level. But deep inside, the soul is the same. It's a being of peace, love, happiness. We are all the children of one God, and that's it. And this delicate balance, so there is individuality, but it's not an egocentric individuality. It's a soul-centric individuality. That individuality is what we speak about actually as, very often in spirituality, we use this word, integrity. You know where this word comes from, integrity? It comes from the word integer. That is, integer. And you know what integer means? Integer means whole, complete. Integrity comes then from the experience of being whole and complete. It's an experience that we can have when we are following not our superficial cultural acquired values, but when we are following the deepest values of the soul. And a fundamental value of the soul is purity, not being affected by what is happening around us. Very often to symbolize purity, they use the lotus flower. And the lotus flower can grow in mud, but the mud cannot stay on the lotus flower. It slips off. See? It keeps its integrity. Navigating negativity is a bit like being the lotus flower. Maintaining your purity. Not accepting the negativity. Not giving up the responsibility of our lives to others, which creates the experience of negativity. No. This is my life, and I keep it mine. I live with others. I live amongst everything, connectedness, and yet individuality. It's a beautiful illustration. And that is integrity, or purity, coming from the experience of wholeness. But the experience of that wholeness is so important to create. Every day. Every day. One is the experience of meditation, when I go into deep silence, connect with myself as a soul, and connect to God. But the other is through practice. Every moment I feel negative, every moment I experience any wave of negative emotions, understanding this is my creation. Others are not responsible for it. This is something I want, which I'm failing at, because of which this is coming. Taking full control over that. This is the lotus. We will have to wind up now, but final, NVP, you want to say something?
I was just thinking about when there is a negative thought, or it's also something that is resonating in you.
Yes.
And if we see on the positive side, we can use that resonance to try to understand why we get affected by it.
Yes. It's such models, spiritual knowledge, can give us a good understanding of why. And it's very important to understand that why, but it is equally important to put a full stop and not analyze too much. And in Raj Yoga, we have this practice of applying a full stop. Just stop. Understand, you need understanding, otherwise it becomes suppression. But once I have understood, there is no need to overanalyze much. Just put a full stop, go into deep silence, things will start healing. Practice it, and you will see it. Otherwise, we get lost in too much analysis. And then we come up with a lot of analysis, but we don't get the strength. So we will stop here. We will have a little practice of this applying a full stop. I'll give you a simple sentence that you can use for practice in your daily life, to the next time we meet, which will be after 2 weeks, I think, when we will look at negativity in relationships with others. Simple sentence. Three parts of the sentence. A, I am a soul. B, detached like a lotus. C, loved by God. I am a soul, detached as a lotus, and loved by God. I am a soul, detached as a lotus, loved by God. practice this 8 times a day. Prescription. Practice this 8 times a day. However long you want to practice is up to you. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Practice this 8 times a day.
And see. Practice just sit and meditate, say it in yourself?
Preferably in yourself. Certainly not when you're traveling in the Esto and Laos. And certainly not in the silent section of the Esto. Preferably by yourself and inside yourself. But we will practice a little meditation now before we leave for the day. Sometimes they say, in punctuation, the easiest mark is a full stop, right? Mm-hmm. A question mark is all twisted and long, and the exclamation is all funny with two things. And a dot is very simple. So after all the understanding, you put a dot. Become a dot. The soul is a dot. It's a concentration of to infinity. God, dot, concentration to infinity. Past is the past, full stop. Done. No need to think too much about the past. No need to analyze it too much. Understand it, put it away. Put a full stop. 3 dots. The soul, God, and the past is the past. Practice this. Within a second, I practice applying the dot. I put a full stop to the past. Going deep within myself, I become a dot. My entire existence concentrated to infinity. I, the soul, a point of light, detached as a lotus, detached from all superficial, egoistic desires, ambitions. Full and complete within myself. The soul, experience myself in my eternal form of light. This body disappeared. Just a point of light. Loved by God. I place myself under His light.
far beyond this world of matter. I allow myself to experience the silent, healing, selfless love of the Supreme. Holding on to my fullness, my integrity, being an individual that is connected to the whole of humanity as one family. I, the soul, detached as a lotus. Loved by God. With love for the whole of humanity. Holding on to this consciousness, I allow myself to return back to this field of action. And I once again take my position in the center of the brain, looking out through these eyes, listening through these ears. Silent, peaceful.
Okay, tak for i dag, and go aften.